So, real hope versus hope. There's a difference, right? The world gives hope.
I'll just sit right there.
But what is the difference between the hope that the world gives and the hope that Jesus gives? Somebody, I always call on people to kind of communicate, so if you don't answer, then I'm going to call on you. Yes, Darlene.
The world says, I hope so, but I'm growing.
Right, so...
Our hope is absolutely...
Exactly. So the world hope says, I hope so. Now, why do they say, I hope so?
Yes, they're wishing.
They're wishing. Their foundation is uncertain. Yeah. Right? It wavers, it wanes, it waxes, right? It changes with the culture. It changes with what's going on, right? What else? Right, circumstances. What else is the difference between the hope that the world gives, right, and the hope that Jesus gives? It's eternal. And why is that important that our kids know? Well, before our kid, and then, just so you know, this is first for us, right? Because if we don't believe this, if we don't experience this, then we can't teach it.
Right.
Right? So why is it important for us to know that the hope that Jesus gives is eternal?
Well, that we can share it with others.
Okay, we share with others. What else?
Why do we know it?
Because it lasts.
Why do we need to understand that the hope that Jesus gives is eternal?
Because it's true.
It's true. It doesn't change with culture, right?
Yeah.
What else?
It's just not dependent on anything happening here on earth.
Exactly. The basis of the hope that Jesus gives is where? In God. Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? So it doesn't matter what country you go to. But when we go on a mission trip, we go to Mexico and El Salvador. It doesn't matter. The hope is the same. Because that hope is founded on Jesus. Mm-hmm. Okay? And he transcends culture. He transcends situation. Right? So let's look at this, some of the hope stealers that the kids have to deal with. I also want you to keep in mind that some of us have experienced these things. Mm-hmm. Right? And some of us have not had a loving, caring Christian adult speak into our lives the kind of hope that Jesus gives. So it may raise up some things within you. I wish I had a, right? Oh. But that I wish I had then gives us a better understanding as to how to minister to kids who do not have a support system at home, mm-hmm. right? Whose support system is broken, whose parents are not available to instill that eternal hope in them, okay? So here's some hope stealers, divorce, right? And we're gonna look at how divorce affects certain ages, okay? Preschoolers and lower elementary, up to kinder. This is typical. This is not textbook, right? This is, it depends, okay? So, sadness. I'll go through all the things and then we'll talk about why, okay? Insecurity, helplessness, tantrums, right? Disruption of sleeping and eating patterns, okay? Increased separation anxiety. Okay, developmental regression, right? Stomach aches. Okay, let's talk about this. Why are all of these things manifesting themselves through a child when they're going through a stressful or hopeless, in their eyes, situation?
Because they can't express it, they're not expressing
it. Right, and so with kids, the way they respond, the way they act, is a way that they're trying to communicate. So when you have a child who is insecure, why are they experiencing insecurity? Insecurity. The foundation. So God created the family to be what for children? The basis. The foundation. So you start ripping that away, what's going to happen to the child?
Fearful.
I have no one that I can stand on. Yeah. Right? And just think of parents going through divorce. Yeah. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. Right? And people say, well, it's different with Christians. No, it's not. No. Do you know that there's a 50-50 chance that even Christian marriages break up? Isn't that just a sad commentary?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Right? So a lot of our kids in our Sunday school or wherever you are, there's a good likelihood that they're going through this, but sometimes we're blind to it because we don't want to deal with the pain that they're dealing with.
Yeah.
Right? So insecurity, helplessness. What's a kid to do when mom and dad are fighting? Right? What's a kid to do when I'm going to spend 50% of my time here, 50 here? Right? And then each home is going to have its own culture.
Yes.
It's going to have its own thing that they believe is right and wrong. Right? Tantrums. What does a tantrum say? What is this child who's having a tantrum?
Look at me.
Please help me.
I
don't know. That's right. I can't express the pain and the hurt that's going in my heart. So the only way I know how is this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And sadly, you guys, most of the time we look at the action and not at the motivation behind the action. So instead of saying what is wrong with you, our question should be, what happened? What are you dealing with? What happened at home? Right? And no kid, I bet you, has ever been asked, what, why?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, most of the time it's like, stop it.
Yeah.
Now, what have you done when you say stop it?
Invalidated.
You have just said what you're feeling doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I want you to respond in this and that way.
Mm-hmm.
Because you are making me, teacher, feel uncomfortable. And you're messing with my lesson plan. Right? Don't tell me you've never thought that. Right? I've got 20 other kids I've got to minister to, and you're taking all the time. So it's like, teachers, let's be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
To me, it's more important that the kids leave our classroom minister to, not that they memorize the scripture. Is that important? Of course it's important.
Yes.
But I want our Sunday school room, whenever we have anything to do with kids, for them to come away with hope.
Yes, right.
Right? And hope moves.
Mm-hmm.
Hope is alive. It's not just a lesson. Because, newsflash, right? No matter how creative your lesson is, they're going to forget it.
Yeah.
They are going to be clueless. My son, my 34 years old son, he still remembers his preschool teacher. She's still teaching. He doesn't remember a lesson that she taught, but she remembered, Miss Berg loved me.
Yeah.
She loved me. Couldn't tell you the lesson, but she knew. He knew that she made a connection with him. And that's so important, you guys, that we make a connection with kids. Right. So it goes, disruption of eating and sleeping patterns, right? It's going to happen because they're worried.
Yes.
They don't know what's going to happen. Separation anxiety. This is especially with younger ones. You know, where a kid, when they get left off in preschool or nursery,
mm-hmm.
for the first couple of times, they'll cry.
Yeah.
But when that continues, then there's a situation that because they're now insecure, they're not sure whether mom or dad is going to come back and pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
Because their life at home has changed drastically, right? Developmental regression. Why do they do that? So a kid has been dry all night for the past year. Right? They're stuck sucking their thumbs. They're stuck doing things that a baby would do.
Mm-hmm.
Again, what is the message they're descending?
They're going back to where we're comfortable.
Back to where they're comfortable. What else? What are they telling you? What is this action? What is the regression telling you?
That they needed you at that point.
I need you. And I need you not to punish me wetting my bed. I need you not to punish me because I'm sucking my thumb. I need you to talk to me and look. Let's look behind the action. Again, look behind the action. Okay? Stomach aches, again, same thing. Stressful situation for kids. Upper elementary, there's intense anger. And we'll do the same thing that we did with this, or with the other one. Rejection, loneliness or sadness, fear. They detach from situations so as not to feel pain or loss. Right? Okay. Upper elementary. This is, second, third, fourth, fifth. Right? Intense anger. So we've seen how in nursery preschool, they're starting to build up anger, but they're not sophisticated enough to tell you. Right now, if this has not been dealt with, then this is where we move into. Okay? Intense anger. What are some of the ways that we can tell that this child is experiencing intense anger?
Sometimes they will bully others.
Right. I was hurt, therefore, and you know the adage, right? Hurt people hurt. Right? What else? How else can you tell?
Slamming crayons down.
Sorry again?
Slamming
crayons down? Exactly.
Being frustrated.
All types of violence.
Yep.
They choose to do all types of violence.
Right. Violence.
Yes, I hope it's violent.
Right, exactly right. And so violence not just against other friends or school, but mom and dad. Mm-hmm. Right? Whoever the caregivers are. Okay? Rejection of whoever. So if mom and dad are separating, then there's a likelihood that they're going to reject either mom or dad. Okay? Loneliness and sadness. Why do you think that is? Go back to what God instituted the family to be. Right? A family is supposed to be a safe place for a kid. Right? And so you've taken that away, and now they're uncertain about, am I loved? What about my future? Right? Fear. Why fear? And fear of what?
Fear of loss. Fear of...
That is such an interesting thing to think about. When we look at the things that cause stress or trauma in a child's life, they all are based on loss. Mm-hmm. Right? And so this child has lost his family. He has lost security. She has lost someone to affirm them. She has lost someone to model for them what it's supposed to be like. Right? And now they're going to start searching for this. And unless there is a wise adult who intervenes, they're going to start looking in the wrong places, and we'll see how what happens when they get older. So detach from situations so as not to feel pain of loss. How do they do that?
They go into the room and isolate many times.
Right, and so what do they do? Right here. TikTok, Instagram, whatever else they've got. So what does that do for them? What does the web do for them?
Escape.
It creates a false sense of happiness.
Yes.
Like escape.
Discover her own world.
That's exactly right. It creates a false sense of security. Mm-hmm. It creates a false sense of what life is supposed to be like.
Yeah.
Right? At the same time, they're being taught some pretty evil things.
Yes.
Right? Oh, but it's funny. But no, it's not funny.
It's not
funny. Okay, let me say this. The internet is a tool that can be used for the gospel.
Yes.
Right? When used appropriately. At the same time, we know that the enemy uses this for destruction.
Yes.
TikTok, there's another one, Instagram, are the greatest ways that child molesters infiltrate into a child's life. Most of our parents are ignorant of that.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, it's harmless.
Mm-hmm. Everybody has it.
Everybody has it.
Yeah.
Right?
I make it now. It has to be the same.
And so we'll talk about parent guilt in a second. But so they detach, and when they detach, they stop talking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? They stop talking to adults, and who do they start talking to? Other kids. And Proverbs says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. So you put a bunch of fools together, what are you going to get?
Foolishness.
Right? So they're going to get misinformation about what sexual relationship is like. They're going to get misinformation about what life is like. Misinformation about who you are. Well, you're feeling attraction towards the same sex? It's okay. Mm-hmm. It's okay, right? And all this stuff, you guys, happens because there's not a parent on watch. Mm-hmm. They're not standing on the wall. Mm-hmm. Now, going to divorce is extremely difficult, right? So for whatever reason, the divorce happened. There's pain involved for both partners. Mm-hmm. When you're in pain, what happens?
You lash out.
You lash out, what else?
Find something to sad about.
What else? So you're a parent who's going through divorce, you're in pain, you've lost your partner, right? You're stuck with this now.
You isolate.
You isolate, and what else do you do?
You make the kid your, like you attach onto the kid.
You attach onto the kid, what else?
You'll express what you're feeling, and the kids are now like the person that you're expressing those feelings to. Mm-hmm. So instead of talking to like other adults, now the kids are in an adult role.
Right, they're your confidant,
yeah.
Right? So is a kid ready?
No, they shouldn't be.
No, mm-hmm. No. The other thing is when a family is going through divorce, the adults become emotionally unavailable. Because they're hurting. They need healing. Right? They need ministering too. They need help, especially if you're the mom and hasn't worked. Right? What do I do now? Who's gonna watch the, who's gonna take the kids to all of that? And that's gonna be transmitted to the kids. Right? They may not say anything, but your body language, the look on your face, right? How you perceive or how you talk about their dad, that's all gonna come in and part of this, and no wonder there's all of this stuff. Right? Let's move on to older kids, adolescents. We have aggressive actions, they act out, delinquent behaviors, ditching school, drug use, and sexually promiscuous behavior. All right. Remember we talked about the family is supposed to be the basis that the kids get instruction from. That's what God said. So, aggressive actions. And I think it's interesting that the first reaction for most of these kids in all ages is aggression. Okay, and can you tell me why aggression?
Because they're feeling out of control, and they... aggression says, I'm in control.
Right, so think about the last time you were in control. Somebody has made a decision for you that you did not appreciate.
Yeah.
What did you feel? Tell me.
You're angry.
You're angry because why?
Because
you had no control.
Nobody asked me. Mm-hmm. Nobody asked me. Mm-hmm. So not only are the kids feeling nobody asked me, but typically what else are they feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's my fault that my mom and dad, again, if I only had, if I were a better student, if I were a better athlete, if I had listened, if I had cleaned, if it's like, and we know that's the enemy, right?
Yes.
Trying to destroy our kids, mm-hmm. Right? So being aware of that, so because they have no champion, they have to champion themselves.
Yes.
They have to take care of themselves, and they have to do so at an age where they're not capable. They shouldn't have to do this. Mm-hmm. Mom and dad are supposed to do this for them, right? They act out, right? They're getting older now, and so they may be violent towards mom or dad,
mm-hmm.
Right? They may sneak out at night, right? Delinquent behaviors. They get in with the wrong crowd. Because again, what are the kids looking for?
Attention.
Attention, belonging to a group.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? So you get all these kids who, and what I think is interesting is that these kids who are going through these situations find themselves.
Yeah, maybe.
And they all kind of gang together.
Mm-hmm.
And unless there's an adult who says, no, we're not doing this.
Yeah.
Right? So they start ditching school.
Yeah.
And then once you ditch school, what happens?
Yeah,
what else do we do now?
Getting in trouble.
Yeah.
Right?
Idle hands, devil's workshop. Yeah.
So let's try this.
Mm-hmm.
Do they intend to become drug addicted?
No,
addict
no.
plans to become an addict.
No.
Right? So we go into then partying, right?
Yeah.
And then into the seeking out at night. Right? And then, since we're here and dancing, let's finish the dance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get involved sexually.
Mm-hmm.
What are they looking for? Again, what are they looking for?
Connection.
Connection to that. Connection. Now, it's misguided, isn't it?
Yes.
But they're through the sexual act, they're finding fulfillment. Somebody loves me when they know that's not love, right?
Yeah.
It's just hormones, mm-hmm. right? Unfortunately, what happens when you have unprotected sex?
Yeah.
Right? And this, in this area, is where the pimps come in. Is where sexual exploitation comes in. Right? Because that's what they're looking for. They're looking to belong to someone, and there's plenty of wolves out there who are looking for these sheep who are lost.
Yes.
And they take advantage of it. We say, no, not in my city. That happens somewhere. No. I think sometimes as Christians, we don't like to look at how evil the world is. And how perhaps even some of the kids that we're dealing with now are being sexually exploited. Right? It's like we need to open our eyes.
Yeah.
We need to understand what the enemy's tools are.
Yes.
And they get darker and darker
yes.
as time progresses. And that's scriptural. It says, at the yes. times are becoming darker and darker. And we as believers have to educate ourselves. We can say, I don't want to hear. It's like, well, then what are you doing in ministry? Mm-hmm. Part of being in ministry is finding out the ugly stuff and then going to the Word of God, because He's got the answer.
Yes.
Right? But we have to educate ourselves. We can't be ignorant. You cannot be afraid of the web. You need to get on the web and find out what are these kids involved in. Right? Let's go on. Here's some helpful scriptures. Okay, so we talked about the nasties. Now let's talk about the hope. It says, blessed be the Lord, because, right? He has heard the voice of my supplication. Why would this scripture be key to kids who are going through divorce?
Somebody cares.
Somebody cares? What else? And they care by doing what?
Listening.
By listening. By listening. Kids whose family is going to divorce, they feel unheard. Nobody listens to me. But we have someone that we can point them to. You know what? They may not be listening to them. But we have a resource, right? We have a resource to the God of the universe. He's heard it. He's heard when you cry at night. He's heard when you're afraid. He heard it when you're trying, when you're being tempted to sin and you don't want to, but your other friends are doing it and you fall in because you don't want to be the odd man out because you're already the only one who doesn't have a whole family. He's heard it, right? He's a shield. He's the one who protects me. Not just physically, but emotionally and spiritually, He protects me, right? And He is my strength when I have none.
Yes.
My heart trusted in Him. Now, their heart has trusted in their parents. What happened?
That trust was broken.
And it's extremely difficult for kids whose hearts have been broken, whose trust has been violated, for them to trust again. I mean, all of us, even as adults, like, burn me once, okay. Twice, it's gonna take me a long time before I get to a place where I open my heart again to trust somebody and let somebody in that way, because that hurts. And that hurts to the deepest level who they are, right? So it says, my heart trusts in Him, and look at what I get. When I trust in Him, I'm helped. And help. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices. When kids are going through stuff like this, they're sad. They're broken. Right? They feel shackled to what happened. And in their mind, their identity becomes, my family has failed. Therefore, I failed. But I know that God wants me. God instituted a family, so have I done something? So does God love me? Right? So, what we can teach them is Even when you don't feel like worshiping. Remember David said to offer up a sacrifice of praise?
Yes.
What does that mean? Tell me.
Do it when you don't feel like it.
Do it when you don't feel like it. Do it when the circumstances do not motivate you to praise, because then our praise is not built upon the circumstances, but our praise is focused on who?
God.
A God who never changes.
Amen.
That's a difficult concept for a lot of adults, right? Because we're very situational. Imagine what a kid is going through this. What are they going to experience? So we need to model for them. And at some point, if you've gone through something like this, side note, just because you've gone through a divorce as a child doesn't mean you've gone through that divorce.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't ever say, I know what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Because the moment you say that, what are they going to think?
You have no idea
what I feel.
No.
Mm-hmm. You're clueless. Mm-hmm. Right? We can say, you know what? I went through something similar to this, and here's what the Lord has taught me. Okay? And with my song, I will praise Him. So it's important as we walk these kids through these situations that we're always pointing them to Jesus, not to us, because they will naturally want to attach to you. Right? We don't want to do that because we don't know if we're going to be alive tomorrow. So we want to point them to Jesus, the author and finisher of the faith, the one who will never, ever fail them. Right? 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9 says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of power be of God and not of us. Sometimes when we get into situations like this, when God brings these kids into our lives, we feel like, I don't know what to do. That's the best place to be. You know that? Because then we can't rely on our experiences. We can't rely on our training. And shame on us if we treat every child who's going to divorce the same. Because then we don't take into account that God created each child differently. And so what works for Mary may not work for Billy. Right? So, Lord, how would you have me minister to Mary? I don't know. Lord, how would you have me minister to Billy? Show me, God, how to make this connection between them and you. And so we, as Christians, are never in a place of, I don't know what to do. Because we have, right here, this book right here. But I'm not a therapist. No, nobody asked you to be a therapist. I don't have, like Pastor was saying, I don't have a degree. And you know what I found? That even if you have a degree in psychology, sometimes it doesn't translate. You know, because they start leaning on my degree. And you stop listening to the Holy Spirit of God. Right? Who knows this child intimately. He knit God, this kid together in his mother's womb, and that my soul knows full well. So who knows this kid better than God who created him? No one. Right? So don't think that you have, and the world would have you say, well, what do you know? You've not gone to college. Yeah, but you know what? I have access to the wisdom of the ages. Right here. But our responsibility is what? Study to show yourselves approved.
Yes.
Right? Study. No, not just, okay, got it. So it means that we have a vibrant devotional life with Jesus. That we don't just open the Bible on Wednesday, Thursday, or Sunday when you go to church, because that's like, that disqualifies you from serving kids. Because then you are operating out of the flesh. Right? All right, let's go on. Here's some ministry tips. Pray. Sometimes it's the last thing we do.
Yeah.
Right? So before you talk to a kid, as you're talking to a kid, you're having this conversation with God. I don't know what to say, God. And there's sometimes, you guys, that God doesn't give us wisdom right then and there. But there's some things that we know what to do. He says, weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And so be honest. You know what, John? I don't know what to say. But I'll sit with you, and we can pray and talk to God together. Right? So we want to model for them what is necessary. Don't take sides. You know, especially if this family's been going to your church, right? And you kind of know what's happening. You may think, "Whew, I'm glad he left. She's better without him." Don't ever say that. Because the kid doesn't think so. Right? That's mom. That's dad. My family's been destroyed. Right? So it's, we are not ever to stand in a place of judgment. That's not our responsibility. Who does that? God does that. Right? Our anger, our frustration does not bring about the righteousness of God. So keep your mouth shut. Right? Going on. What not to say, right? So typically when there's a divorce, there's a splitting of the family, right? You get them 50% of the time, you get 50% of the time, and typically say, but you'll get to see them. Yeah, but I won't get to see my mom every day, right? We talked about this real quick, they are better apart from each other. It may be true. But that's not our responsibility to say that. Right? And you know, and it's difficult to keep our mouth shut when there's abuse going on. Right? When there's alcoholism going on, when there's drug abuse, when there's infidelity, when there's all kinds of things that, yes, she is better off or he is better off, because women abuse as much as men. Right? Typically we focus on the men. Right? It may be true. But again, we have to look at the situation through the eyes of this child. Okay? Moving on. Again, that's part of not judging. What not to say. I know how you feel. We talked about this a little bit earlier. And this is for any situation, right? Any situation. Whether you've been abused as a child, sexually, emotionally, physically, it's all different. Do not minimize the child's feeling. Okay, the world has a way of doing that. Right. Our son-in-law died. It's going to be a year in February. Something was totally preventable. Right. He died of a drug overdose. And so I've got two grandkids. And they're both responding differently. Mm-hmm. The older one, the 13-year-old, this, right? We have tried to bring him to a counselor, but he doesn't want to talk. I'm fine, right? When he's exhibiting all the anger, all of that, right? Our youngest, he's 5, he's going to turn 6. he says, he has started to use this phrase as a free pass. Whenever we need to discipline him or his mom needs to discipline him, I miss my dad. It's like, I get that. Yes. But you can't use that to escape what you just did. Mm-hmm. Right? So there is a way of affirming that. You know, so what we ask him is, well, what do you miss about your dad? Right? And so we still deal with the misbehavior. Because what if we were not to deal with the misbehavior? What would happen? Right now, it's just spraying soap all over the place. 2, 3, 4 years down the line, it could be something that's a real issue. Right? So we want to train them that, yes, you are hurting. Yes, we understand that this is difficult for you. Yes, you miss your dad. And again, remember we said, even though his dad was who his dad was, it was still his dad. He didn't see all the crazy. He saw my dad. Right? And so we need to value that and honor that. Not to say, well, why are you missing this? Anyway, so don't minimize your feeling. Affirm them. Already?
Yeah.
Affirm their feelings, but don't let those feelings overshadow what their responsibility are. Because nobody else in the world is going to do that. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Thank you. Let's see. I got 5 minutes. Let's talk about real quick, page 5, basic stages of grief in children. Okay, so grief can come through anything that causes loss. You know, after they've been sexually abused, after they've been physically abused, after somebody has actually died, right? So a couple of things that I've learned about kids and mourning. Kids do not mourn like adults mourn. It's too heavy. It's too much. And God, by His grace, created the kids to be able to compartmentalize. Okay, I'm grieving now. So, okay, I'm done grieving. Now I want to go play.
Yeah.
Right? And then they'll 10-15 minutes later, they'll come back and they'll start crying again. Right? So don't think that just because a kid is outside playing after his dad has passed away, that you don't care. And see, that we are trying to look at kids through the lens of an adult. Right? So God has given them the grace. Can you imagine if a kid felt the full impact of grief? It would be destructive to them. Right? So God created them in such a way that their body, their brain can only process so much at a certain time. Okay? So some of the basic way that they will respond is shock and disbelief. I remember praying with my grandson the other day, a couple weeks ago, for lunch. He said, well, can you pray my dad will come back? Like, but he won't come back. He said, but pray anyway. Right? So those are things that you have to tread on very gently. Right? So shock and disbelief, the extreme feelings. Again, with any loss, you're going to feel anger, sadness, aggression, difficulty in concentrating. That's why sometimes they have difficulty in school. They're misbehaving in your Sunday school class. That's why the question isn't what's wrong with you, but what happened? Right? Acceptance. Eventually, they will accept it. Okay? They'll accept that, okay, he is not coming back. And this is final. And then when that happens, there's a whole new cycle of mourning. Coming to terms with, oh man, it's not a dream. It's all for real, right? Psalm 23, we can look at that. You guys know that. I'll let you use some of the scriptures to use. Here's some ministry tips. Don't feel like you have to have an answer or give advice. Okay, just be present with them. I wear my emotions on my sleeve. Just like now. And so, when my grandson asked, pray my dad come back, I lost it. You know, and all these things, right, that I still have not dealt with. Because of that, like I had to deal with that. And so being honest with him and letting him see me cry, it's okay. Because when you do that as an adult, you're modeling for them how to grieve in a healthy way. Then you have culture that comes into the grieving process, right? When we go to Mexico and El Salvador, boys are not allowed to cry because it's shameful to them. You're a man. Men don't cry. Right? And so what happens to the grief that these boys have? It gets stuffed down. But you know what? Eventually, it comes out.
And more hard.
Right? And so, and the other thing that unfortunately happens with boys in the Latin culture is that now that your dad died, you're the man in the home. Okay. He's 10.
Yeah.
And I think some of these things, adults don't think about what they're saying. And so what I've started doing is, hey, ask your mom what it means that you are the man of the house now. Because in their mind, these boys, I gotta quit school, and some do, right? I've gotta provide for my family. How am I gonna do that? And that's where the drug selling comes in. That's where the prostitution comes in order to satisfy what the culture says. Right, so helping the parents to understand that what you are asking them is not reasonable. It's not cool. Now, that's a big thing if you're working in a cultural situation. Because the moment you say that, then you're saying that my culture is wrong. And then it opens up a whole different opportunity for ministry to where we talk about where the culture comes against the scriptures. Guess what has to win? The scripture has to win. Right? And by the way, it doesn't happen overnight. That does you develop relationship with the parents. Right? So you've got that. You encourage active grieving. Things not to say. We talked about this a little bit. I heard you lost your mommy. The implication is that you'll find her sometime. That she's going to come back. One of the things that we as Christians need to get away from is a romanticized idea that now grandma is watching over you. A lot of this comes from the Catholic background, right? And so if you're dealing with Catholics, right, then be careful. So you don't want to destroy them, however, point to scripture. Okay? All right, so our time is done. So let me pray for you guys. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us instruction through your word as to how to apply these things. I pray, God, that you will help us to know that your word is above anything, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So when you call us, God, to minister to these kids who are hurt and broken, who are lost and have no way to look, God, I pray that you would give us the right words, that you would anoint our hearts to hear your voice, God, and then to proclaim the gospel to these kids, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be a bridge, as it were, between you and the kids. We ask it in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. All right, you guys. God bless you.